CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Objects over North America in these last days bring the President of the United States to clarify future policy for the United States. The President said, in part, "If any object presents a threat to the safety and security of the American people, I will take it down." The question now is, where is the object? Henry Sikorski, the executive editor of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, has been educating me about airspace, near space, outer space, and how the recommendations by sovereign powers over decades, this starts in the early 20th century with aircraft, have given us a variety of interpretations of when you can and cannot say it's your territory to patrol and enforce. Henry, a very good evening to you. Airspace, near space, and outer space. There's a very helpful chart in the Wall Street Journal story about near space, and I read just in summary. 11 miles up is the upper limit of civil aviation traffic. 31 miles up is the upper limit of atmospheric buoyancy for balloons. 62 miles up is the edge of near space. After that, you're in outer space. And there are more details, but that's where the orbiting craft are. The matter of question of airspace to near space is at hand. Is there a definition you're comfortable with? Good evening to you, Henry.
Good evening. No, no one is comfortable with the definition. And everyone from the Wolf Warrior diplomats in China to the legal counsels at the Pentagon actually are consciously working to make sure that there's ambiguity about where that lies, and for different reasons. I think in the case of the Pentagon, they want to preserve options to operate and not be accused of violating someone's sovereign airspace. They might even consider developing weapons that we don't even have that otherwise would be restricted if they made clear where space began, because it would be covered by the treaty, the space treaty, the outer space treaty, which, you know, makes it very clear that you can't shoot at certain things if they're in outer space. On the other hand, the Chinese, who are very keen about bloodless victories, are trying to exploit ambiguities, and so they don't want to get rid of them. Between these two objectives, there is this vast ambiguity in law that I think will persist. I don't think these incentives will be eliminated. So while there are all these Wall Street Journal articles about, you know, where things are, what will determine everything is what's called customary law or state, which is determined in part by what's called state practice. That's all fancy language for it. If you start shooting things and you knock them down over your territory at a certain altitude, everyone gets the message, that's your sovereign airspace.
The airspace right now that is contention is from up to 62 miles in that area. After that, you consider outer space, but really the satellites, I'm told again by the Wall Street Journal, have to have at least 99 miles off the surface of the Earth to maintain their orbits. So looking at a zone that our satellites can't use, and balloons can use to 31 miles. I would say after this education I've had, Henry, the law is going to be on the side of people who can talk tough and back it up and move away. There doesn't seem to be any arbitration here. The president gave an order to shoot. We shot. The Chinese are objecting, and we move on. Is that what we've learned? Power out of the barrel of a gun.
Yeah, I think in this instance, I don't know if might makes right, but the law is defined by what might does. And I think it's very clear that the administration now is scrambling a bit, and rightly so, to figure out what kinds of detection capabilities we should have, what kinds of interception capabilities we should have, and what kinds of practice and policy we should have for commanding different altitudes and stay tuned. I mean, if the Chinese want to go higher beyond what it is we're capable of dealing with, quote unquote, they may get away with it. There's an awful lot of room between 65,000 feet and 370 some odd thousand feet. And I can tell you right now, much beyond 80,000 feet is very difficult for us to send any aircraft up. Now, that could change. You can devise things, I suppose, that can go much higher.
We made this similar mistake in May of 1960 with the U-2 and Gary Powers. The presumption was Soviet air defense couldn't reach the U-2. Well, it did. Brought down the U-2, Gary Powers put on trial, humiliated the Eisenhower administration, ended peace talks. And now we come to the 21st century, because we're going to move beyond airspace, near space, orbital space, to the Outer Space Treaty of 1967. Outer space, including the moon and other celestial bodies, is not subject to national appropriation by claim of sovereignty, by means of use or occupation, or by any other means. I like the use there, Henry, because we're now talking about orbital space and the moon and on to the asteroids. What this episode in balloons could indicate is that we're about to begin a century or several centuries of arguing over who owns this territory.
Yeah, well, short answer is no one. But that doesn't settle how you behave up there. It looks pretty strong legally that a celestial body and or the moon are not supposed to be militarized, whatever that means. At a minimum, you would think setting up military bases that were explicit in that characteristic somehow would be, you know, not considered kosher. But the use of space for transit for military delivery, certainly suborbital, is allowed. Gray areas. If you have something that's called a fractional orbital bombardment system, which the Chinese and Russians have perfected, these things don't go a full orbit, but actually go into orbit and then have to be deorbited. And right now, for some reason, our military wants to retain the option of having these things. And so it's agreeing with the Chinese that, oh, well, that isn't covered. It's kind of hard to figure out why. Some other nations might not agree. It keeps going like this. In other words, I think the balloon incident is revealing the lack of legal clarity about who's, you know, has clear rights over what. And it'll continue beyond near space. Properly understood, we should have some commissions to clarify the ambiguities, or identify them at least, in outer space.
It's been 2 weeks since the initial reports, maybe not exactly 2 weeks, but over two business weeks. And the White House has now clarified that it will make determination about what is and is not a threat to the U.S. in future. The president says he will shoot if he believes it's a threat. Do you expect it to be left there, or are we going to see this again? Are we going to test limits? We have about 30 seconds.
I'll just say, because it's good for business, I'll say, yeah, we'll see this again. The question is how soon.
Right.
I mean, you'd like to think the Chinese would cool their heels, but no, we'll be back at this. Technically, it's been identified as a contested area. Therefore, the question is, how are we going to contest it with new technology in the future?
Henry Sikorsky, Executive Director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, Airspace, Near Space, Outer Space. I'm John Batchelor.